smile. Let me do a few tricks, some old and then some new tricks. I'm very versatile. And if you're real good, I'll make you feel good. I want your spirits to climb. So let me.
With celebrated numbers like Let Me Entertain You, sung here by Sandra Church from the original Broadway cast recording of Gypsy, many Broadway fans consider Gypsy to be the greatest American musical ever written. But in 1959, the year it opened on Broadway, Gypsy didn't win a single one, not one, of the 8 Tony Awards it was nominated for. That fact is shocking. It seems that every Tony Awards season, theater-goers are astonished to see their favorite musicals lose to maybe less popular ones. These short-changed shows are the subject of theater critic Peter Felicia's new book, Strippers, Showgirls, and Sharks, a very opinionated history of the Broadway musicals that did not win the Tony Award. It's published by St. Martin's Press, and I'm very pleased it brings Peter Felicia to our show. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
It's great to see you.
Aren't you nice?
And I guess I'm seeing you again. We've met before.
Yes, indeed.
You were just reminding me where.
We did a Drama League luncheon for Cymbeline when you did it with Felicia Rashad and Michael Cerberus.
That's right. Well, I'm delighted that you came in to talk with me about your book, which is very funny. And I have to say, a subject I know a little bit about.
Well, of course, we wouldn't have you here if we didn't have a Tony losing musical.
That's right.
Because, of course, Hair lost, and that's where your mommy and daddy met.
That is fantastic. You know that. So Gypsy lost the Tony for Best Music. Some of the best shows, I mean, you won't believe when you read this book, some of the best shows of all time, some of the losers are in, I think, maybe the best company.
Well, what's really interesting is that Gypsy didn't even finish second, because that was the one and only year there was a tie for Best Musical. The Sound of Music and Fiorello both tied for first place. So Gypsy couldn't even say, well, I bet we finished second. No, third at best.
So luck may be a big factor in the Best Musical race, but how could Gypsy have lost all 8 nominations? That's crazy to me.
Well, another thing is the fact that, as we know in Hollywood, they open movies at the last week of the year for Oscar consideration. Gypsy opened in May, and both those other shows opened in November. So probably they were fresher on the voters' minds, and that was the reason.
I can't think that's possibly all that there is to it. Gypsy, of course, went on to win, like, I feel like, hundreds of Tonys for its revivals.
Ironically enough, though, some of this may have to do with David Merrick. David Merrick was a producer who really had a lot of success. So when you have a lot of success, of course, you're going to be hated. And as a result, a lot of people were already very resentful that he had had so many hits in such a short period of time. He'd only been producing in earnest for 5 years, and he had had so many hits schadenfreude, you know how it is. So they were trying to make certain that, well, some voters, of course, were trying to make certain that he wouldn't win the prize. He wouldn't win for another 5 years until Hello, Dolly came along, and he won for 42nd Street. But considering he produced around 30 musicals, and many of them were very good, it's amazing he only won twice. And I'm sure his personality and his success had a lot to do with that.
Huh, that's interesting. Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that it was about a stripper?
Well, one could argue that point. So many times the musicals that are chosen are ones that people say, well, will it do well on the road? And, of course, The Sound of Music had no strippers in it at all, as we well know. So as a result, having this show that could go out there and wow the masses in the hinterlands might have been a factor. On the other hand, Fiorello was a terribly New York-centric show. Yes, it did tour, but I'm sure it didn't tour as long as The Sound of Music, because it dealt with Fiorello LaGuardia, who meant a lot to New Yorkers, of course, during his reign as mayor, but not as much to anybody else in the country.
So I guess, Broadway hasn't changed that much in the intervening years. A legendary Broadway team was behind Gypsy. Mm-hmm. Arthur Lawrence wrote the book, Julie Stein the score, Stephen Sondheim the lyrics, and Jerome Robbins directed and choreographed it. These are the same people, coincidentally, almost the same team that was behind West Side Story,
which in didn't
57,
win.
Which also didn't win. That's shocking.
Yes, it is. On the other hand, I remember asking my readers once how they felt about that race because West Side Story lost to The Music Man.
Also a great show.
Yeah, exactly. So I said to my readers, okay, what do you think? Should this have happened? And I was pretty astonished to find that about 3-1 felt that the Tony voters had made the right decision, that indeed The Music Man should have won, and West Side Story, good as it was, should have finished second.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, really, I was surprised. I didn't think it was going to be nearly that much. In fact, I really thought West Side Story was going to win that
Well, because the movie also, then the movie came out, it was hugely popular. Did that change people's perception of the show at all?
No question. Mm-hmm. The West Side Story movie was far more successful than The Music Man movie. It won the Oscar, Music Man didn't, And another thing, too, is West Side Story has had such a wonderful afterlife because, as one of my good friends, Bert Silverberg, says, who teaches at a community college, you know, if you try to get boys interested in musicals, they won't do it. But if you can tell them they can be a shark or a jet, suddenly they're interested. So it's had a wonderful afterlife.
Right. So in 2004, Wicked, which I guess you could say is every middle school girl's favorite show.
Sure.
Lost to a much more risque and somewhat less commercially successful Avenue Q. Is this part of a trend, do we think?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's easy for me to say this now, but there is one disc jockey in New Jersey who will bear this out, that the week before the Tonys, I predicted this would happen. I never wrote it, and he's the only one who knows this, and his listeners, of course. And every now and then when I run into him, he says, you predicted it. And you know why? Because indeed, Avenue Q threw a party for the voters. They had a big bash at John's Pizzeria, and they invited all the voters who came from out of town. Now, nobody ever pays attention to the out-of-town voters, and these people did. So as a result, one could effectively argue, and by the way, Avenue Q is a wonderful show, that a lot of these people sold their souls for a slice of pepperoni.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, things like that happen. You know, they really do. I mean, I remember being, when I was president of the Drama Desk Awards, one of the nominators said, hey, let's not nominate Nathan Lane for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Won't that burn him up? And the feeling was, of course, that he had the power to deny him a nomination, and he was going to use that power. It didn't happen, by the way. We did give Nathan a nomination. But nevertheless, the fact is there are so many factors. These are all very human. People vote for themselves first. They vote against their enemies next. I mean,
politics.
I'm afraid so.
I'm Martha Plimpton. I'm in today for Leonard Lopate, and I am speaking with the theater critic Peter Felicia. We're looking at the 153, let's list them all, shall we?
Sure.
Previous Best Musical Tony nominees that did not win the prize. His book is called Strippers, Showgirls, and Sharks. So the original production of Chicago won none of its 11 Tony nominations in 76, but then the revival, they won 6.
Yeah, Chicago had the bad luck of being up against Chorus Line that year, and nobody was going to beat Chorus Line. And that's one of the sad things, too, when a show just opens in the quote-unquote wrong year, the wrong season. Because if indeed Chicago had opened the year before, it certainly would have easily beat The Wiz for Best Musical. But, you know, this should be an inspiration
to people. I like The Wiz.
Nothing against The Wiz, however, of the two shows.
Right, okay.
Chicago is the superior musical. But the thing is that so many times this happens, and I hope that those people who have lost Tony Awards, who have written Tony-losing musicals, look to Chicago and say, hey, you know, maybe someday we'll be redeemed. Look at Chicago. Nobody thought that was going to turn out to run longer than Chorus Line. Right. It has now. And nobody expected that, but nevertheless, there it happened. And maybe some of those other musicals that have lost will be revived someday and will have their day in the sun, just as Chicago has.
Well, I certainly hope there's a few of them that I'd like to see that happen, too. After Gypsy and West Side Story, Stephen Sondheim had yet another surprising Tony loss in the 71-72 season. A musical adaptation of Shakespeare's Two Gentlemen of Verona beat out Follies, which I, you know.
Yeah, all right. All of us
tell
love
us about it.
Follies is definitely the musical theater enthusiast's musical. It's for all of us who grew up loving traditional Broadway show music and those of us who had an interest in what entertainment was during the Ziegfeld Folly eras. So here was a show about a reunion of Follies girls, and they're all getting together, and we center on two couples who, since they got married, have had terrible marital troubles. And I think one of the reasons Follies didn't win is because so much of the show concentrated on these two doleful couples who you just felt, oh, no, they shouldn't be together. And at the end of the show, they're going to try again. And you are not remotely convinced that they're going to make it. However, in between their troubles, we got so many wonderful songs. Broadway Baby certainly was one of them. Ah, Paris, sung by the French Chanteuse. One after the other. Who's That Woman? The greatest production number I have ever seen in 52 years of continuous theater going. So the entertainment factor, yeah, was great. But the fact is that book was so heavy and so many people were walking out of Follies. The average person who went to it did not like it.
They just didn't get it.
Yeah, they didn't get it. Yeah.
But it still won 7 Tonys in other categories.
Sure. Sure. Nobody's going to deny the fact that there were so many achievements on that stage. And in fact, Two Gentlemen won very little. It only won the best musical and the best book. And that was the end of its victory because Follies did do so well in the other categories.
Right. And it's gone on to this extraordinary life and all of that.
Yeah. Follies has had a much better afterlife than Two Gentlemen of Verona. People always say, oh, Two Gentlemen of Verona never gets done. That's not true. It really does. Mm-hmm. I've seen several productions of it. I'd say around 10 in the ensuing years. But nevertheless, no, it's not Follies and it never will be. But I do believe that the Tony voters were saying, you know, if we give the prize to Follies, a lot of people are going to sour on Broadway theater because they're going to go thinking they're going to see a fun musical. Follies sounds like a fun musical. Doesn't that title sound like fun? And then you get there and a lot of it isn't.
So you write about shows that didn't win Best Musical because they may have relied on recycled music, right, from other places instead of featuring an original score. But why do so many shows that recycle movie plot lines seem to do so well?
Oh, I don't think that's so bad. I mean, after all, Broadway musicals have by and large been adaptations. There have been a few original musicals, but here we are talking about West Side Story based on Romeo and Juliet, and Gypsy was based on Gypsy Rose Lee's memoirs. I mean, there have been a lot of shows that have taken inspiration from books, plays, comic strips even.
So if they take their inspiration from that, why not the music?
Yeah. Where's the harm, really?
Right.
You know? So I don't have any problem with movies becoming musicals. All I want them to be is good.
Right. So what influence do you think theater critic reviews have on Tony results?
Sometimes they do. I truly believe that Ben Brantley's Going Crazy for Kristen Chenoweth and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and going equally mad for Heather Headley in Aida were reasons that they got the prize. I do believe that some Tony voters are intimidated by the Times review saying, oh, he liked it. I guess she's good. I better vote for her or else I'm a moron. I do believe that. Of course, that's not a hard and fast rule, and people do vote their hearts and their consciences and what's good for them, too, personally. But nevertheless, I do think that, yes, critics do have an influence on it.
You wrote that Clive Barnes, quote, destroyed the traditional Broadway musical during his tenure at the New York Times from 1967 to 77. What did you mean?
Well, what I mean is that Broadway had a distinctive sound. Show music didn't sound like any other type of music. Yes, one could say several songs from it became pop hits along the way, sure. But they didn't sound in the pop renditions the way they sounded in the theater. There were different orchestrations. There was a different feeling. And we had a distinct, unique sound that Broadway had. And Clive Barnes, who was just about turning 40 at the time and was having a mid-age crisis, I insist, and decided that he was going to prove he was young, said that musicals should have a rock sound.
You think that was Clive Barnes' fault?
I do. I truly do. That he brought in the fact that suddenly all traditional sounding musicals sounded lame to him, and anything with a rock sound sounded wonderful. And this is exemplified by The Lieutenant, a musical that was done in the 74 season that only ran a couple of weeks.
Wow.
But.
Yeah. Yes. Quickly.
Mac and Mabel was a much better show, but Clive Barnes didn't like it because it was Jerry Herman, the guy who wrote Hello, Dolly.
Clive, what are we going to do with you? I have been speaking with theater critic Peter Felici about the best musical Tony nominees that didn't win the big prize, including West Side Story. His book is called Strippers, Showgirls, and Sharks, and it's published by St. Martin's Press. Peter, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for joining me.
God love you. Bye.
Thanks.